Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to see you today. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. We're glad you're here today, especially as we anticipate this Thanksgiving week, this Thursday, celebrating that together. So we're going to be focusing on Thanksgiving today during our worship time. One thing we're thankful for, I hope you are, I know we are, and that is those folks here today and every day, every week that we get together are the people who make up our church, and that is you. So we're going to give you an opportunity to say hello to each other and just thank that person for being them and being here today. All right, stand up together, greet one another, and say thank you. I want to share with you a verse from Scripture. It talks about giving thanks. It's Psalm 107. Verse 1, it says this: Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. We give thanks to God because he is good, and his faithful love, that love that's always there, it's going to last forever. It will never stop. When we pass from this life to heaven with God, it's still there. We get to enjoy it here, and even more so when we get to be with him in heaven. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. Let's pray together and give thanks to the Lord. God, we do thank you because you are indeed good. The very fact that we have blessings in our life indicates that you are not just good, but that you share your goodness, your blessings, things in life that give us what we need, that help us to smile and be happy, things in life that may not be so pleasant for us at the time, but they help us grow. We thank you that you are good, and that your faithful love, love that never fails, love that is always there, that kind of love is for us here and that it will last forever. For those reasons, God, we take time today to thank you and to bless you and to praise you. Bless this time where we honor you and worship you, Father. We pray all of these things through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So this week, our nation will celebrate Thanksgiving. And the irony of it is that very little thanks to God will be given. We'll be so busy preparing and cooking food. Studies have been done, because Americans have nothing else to do but do studies. Studies have been done about preparing for Thanksgiving. And do you know that Thanksgiving prep alone, prep, will take 2 weeks and 5 hours? I don't know how they came up with that. 2 weeks and 5 hours. Then there's eating, entertaining, eating, watching football, eating, so much happening. That very little thanks will go to God throughout the day. Usually our thanks amounts to one prayer right before the big meal, and that usually happens and is done by one person. We're in a series called Radical Living. Today, in preparation for Thanksgiving, we're going to be talking about radical gratitude. And this begins by realizing that everything we have comes from God. And therefore, we always have reasons to be radically grateful to God. Look at this verse on your outline. The outlines are inside your Bibles, your bulletins. If you haven't taken them out, do so. Look at this verse. 1 Chronicles 29:16 says this, speaking about God: everything has come from you, and everything belongs to you. In the midst of all things, we always have a reason to give thanks. We should never have to pause and hesitate and scratch our heads wondering what it is we need to be grateful for or what we have to be grateful for. We should be grateful to God for everything, because everything we have comes from God. So I'm grateful to God. This morning we're going to be talking about I'm grateful to God for five things. Follow along in the outline. I'm grateful to God for five things. Number one, I'm grateful to God for the grace that he's shown to me. Ephesians 2:8, Paul says, you have been saved by grace. Would you underline those three words? You've been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. Now, what is grace? Grace is everything God does for you, even though you don't deserve it. Grace is God giving you what you need, not what you deserve. Everything you have is given by God's grace. Everything God does for you, through you, with you, and for you is done by his grace. Look at these verses out of Psalm 103. It's actually verses 2 through 11, but I've just cut out parts of it and put it together. It's good if today, later on when you get home, read all of the verses here, all of verses 2 through 11. There the psalm writer says this, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. And then he lists them. He forgives all my sins. We could just camp there for a while. We could probably say a few amens, and I'd even say some of us would stand up and give a hallelujah. He doesn't forgive most of my sins or just the ones that I forget about. He forgives all of my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. The next time you wonder if you have anything to be grateful for, go to this passage and just read them. It gives us multiple reasons to be grateful to God. Folks, without God's grace, we are absolutely hopeless. But by and because of God's grace, our sins are forgiven, our guilt is taken away, our emotions are healed, our fears are erased, we have eternity in heaven, God's love surrounds us every moment of every day. And for all of these things, we're grateful. We're grateful for his grace. Secondly, we're grateful for the plan he has for us. I'm grateful for the plan he has for me. Folks, your life is not an accident. You were made for a reason, for a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. I've talked to a lot of people who were adopted, whose parents, for whatever reason, when they came into the world, just didn't really want to have anything to do with them. And they've asked me sometimes, hey, why did God bring me into the world? Because my parents just set me aside. Listen, folks, no matter how you got into this world, God planned your life. Your parents may not have had a plan for your life, but God did. There may be illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate babies. They come in God's timing. They come in the way God brought them into the world, and they are special. You are special. And if you're still alive, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. God's plan for your life is good. It's not a plan we have to worry about or wonder about. I'm not saying it's always easy, and I'm not saying that you won't get caught up in saying things that aren't pleasant. Some of those are because of choices we make. Some of that's because of the choices other people around us make. But God has a plan for your life. God's plan for your life is good. Look what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. I have good plans for you, says the Lord. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. Is that something you can thank God for? Yes. God's plan is so good and so great that God can even take our mistakes, our failures, even things other people do to hurt us. He can work them out into his overall plan in such a way as to bless us and to grow us. Now, God's plan isn't always cotton candy and roses, if you haven't noticed that in life. There are times we're disappointed. There are times maybe God is disciplining us. Why? To mold us and to make us more and more like his son Jesus. Part of our plan is to give us hope. Now, you know, you've probably been around in this life long enough that you can't live without hope. You literally can't live without hope. When people become absolutely hopeless, they will quit living. If they absolutely withdraw and are hopeless, they will die physically. Even if they don't die, their hearts may be beating, but there's no real life there. Because you need hope to live. Don had to be placed in a medically induced coma. His injuries were so bad. And his wife promised him that she would be always there for him and would never leave. And she was. Day after day, week after week, month after month, she showed up every day. She stayed as long as she could, and she talked to him. She literally talked to him incessantly. She held his hand. She rubbed his head. She washed his face, and she talked to him all the time. She read scripture to him. She prayed for him. 2 months later, Don was still in the process of recovering. And one day, he woke up. When asked how he made it through his ordeal, Don said, "It was by hearing his wife's never-ending words of encouragement and hope that helped pull him through." Don said, "She is the reason I'm alive today." Why? Because it gave him hope. You need hope to live. And God's plan includes hope for our lives. What do you need hope for? You ever had anything insurmountable in your life? Something you just didn't think you could overcome? Something that looked so big, so ominous, you didn't think you could ever get through it, over it, around it? Maybe it was a job, a project, something in school. Maybe it was relationships, a possible promotion or performing when you were called upon. What we consider insurmountable, God says, I can take you through it. They're conquerable. We need hope when we come against the brick walls of life. We also need hope when we've blown it, when we've made wrong choices, and we knew we were making the wrong choice. When we get to that point, we think, that's it. It's over. But God is a God of forgiveness and love, and he's a God of hope. At those times, God comes to us and he says, I'll forgive you. I'll give you another chance. Get back in the game. There's more work for you to do. And he gives us hope and a plan. And for that, we can be grateful to God. Give God thanks for the grace he has shown us. Give God thanks for the plan he has for us. And number three, give God thanks for the home he's prepared for me. We know that our body will be destroyed one day. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul says, we know that our body will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made of human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. I can't imagine a home that will last forever. I just can't. We've all seen some beautiful homes, right? Have you ever been driving around and go, wow, look at that one? And then you find another one, you're like, wow, look at that one. And then you find this like big mansion, you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to go in there. Libby and I used to walk around neighborhoods where we lived, and they're still building new houses. And they'd have it framed up and all like that, but they wouldn't lock the doors, and we would just go in. I mean, they hadn't furniture in it yet, but we would go in, and we're like, wow. How big this thing is. This is going to be incredible. This will be wonderful. And God made humans to last forever. And it's good because God has a home that we get to go to one day that will last forever. Folks, one day, our bodies will end. One day we're going to die. But that's not the end of you. Your body will cease to exist, but that's not the end of who you are. Your body's going to decay. It will cease to be around. But the Bible says you were created in God's image, which means you have a soul, you have a spirit, and you're going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven with God or in hell without God, depending upon whether you've received Jesus as your Savior, you've trusted in God's grace, or you haven't. So now as Christians, therefore, we don't have to fear death because we know where we're going to go. It's into an eternal home called heaven. So what's heaven like? Let me give you four words. You can fill these in on your outline. First of all, we can describe heaven as a place where you're reunited. In heaven, you're going to be reunited with other believers who have gone on before you. First thing we think about is family, right? Most of us have had family members that have gone on before us, and we can't wait to see them again. I can't wait to see just at least a couple of mine. I really can't. And to have fellowship again, talk about old stories, eat food. What does heaven food taste like? Good marshmallows. It floats. Now you have my interest up, because I get to heaven, I'm like ribeye steak, fried chicken, marshmallows. Okay. We're going to be reunited, and secondly, we're going to be rewarded. The Bible says we're going to be rewarded for our faith, our trust in God, for our service to God, for our obedience to God. We not only get there by God's grace, when we're there, He's going to bless us even more. Third, we're going to be reassigned. In heaven, you're going to be reassigned new tasks to do, things to do in heaven that will keep us more than just busy. That will fulfill us. God will give us jobs that we were meant to have all along based on how God made us. And they won't feel like a chore. They won't wear us out. It'll be something that we wanted to do. And we get to do them and enjoy them. And thank God in heaven, there are no Monday mornings. And fourth, we will be released. We'll be released from pain, from fear, from depression, anxiety, from worry, from uncertainty, from sorrow, from conflict, from stress, from tears. Who is heaven made for? Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, purified and pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in His mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely. to receive it because you are trusting him, so be truly glad. God has reserved heaven for his children. It's a priceless gift of eternal life for his children. Does everyone who has ever lived on this earth get to go to heaven? No. Not because God doesn't want them to, but because he said, you got to become my child. You do that when you receive Jesus as your Savior. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you become God's child, forgiven through the, by the sins that you've committed through the blood of Jesus. And when that happens, you get to go to heaven one day. People say, well, I haven't really lived my life as God's child. I've kind of walked away from him, and so I guess I'm not going to go. No, you're going to go. Because you don't get to go just because you haven't walked away from him. That's not why you go. You don't get to go because you've been faithful to God and you come to church every week. That's not why you get to go. You don't go because you give a lot of money to the offering. That's not why you get to go. You do those things in response to your love for God and in obedience to God. You get to go to heaven by what Jesus did for you, not by what you do for him. Does that make sense? That's grace, folks. If you do things, you get sidetracked on your walk with God after you become his child. We all do. Thank God for his grace. Heaven is made for God's children. We're grateful to God for his grace, for the plan he has for us, for the home in heaven that he's prepared for us. And number four, for the changes he's making in me. Do you realize God is still working in your life to change you a little bit? Maybe a lot. I'm guessing that what you're able to perceive, how God is working and changing you in your life, others probably see other ways God needs to work in your life as well. I'm very grateful for the changes God is making in my life. While far from perfect, God has been changing my life for the past 48 years. He's brought a lot of healing to some of my troubled emotions that I've struggled with. I'm grateful I'm not the person I used to be. And I'm really glad that God will continue to change me for in the future as well, because while I'm not the person I used to be, thank God I'm not the person that God has changed me into being from what I was to now. He's not done with me yet, and I'm grateful for that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God is changing you and you're not the person you used to be? You're not who you're going to be one day, but you're not where you were. Maybe I should just stop the sermon and just get some testimonies going on how God is changing you. When others maybe were writing you off as hopeless, God saw the potential he had in you under his love and his control, and he's changing you even still. Look what Paul said in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. God is working in you. And it is God who gives you the very desire to have to obey him. And not only does he give you the desire, he also gives you the power to obey him. God supplies all you need so he can make the changes inside of you. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, and the Spirit of the Lord works within us. We become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. God wants to continually make you and me to become more like Jesus from the inside out. He wants to change our lives. Our ultimate goal here at Grace Point Church is changed lives. Fill that in. Our church is in the same business Jesus is in, and that's changed lives. We want to help people who don't know God to become people who do know God. We want God to change their life from what they were to what God wants them to be now, just like we want God to continue to change our lives. Aren't you glad God is still changing lives? He's still in the life-changing business. And number five, I thank God that he never gives up on me. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful to us, and he will help us, and he will always carry out his promises to us. You ever fallen short of who God has called you to be or what he's called you to do? Ever felt unworthy? Ever felt ungrateful? Even when we fall and are unfaithful, and God still reminds you that he's never going to give up on you. Not even when we give up on ourselves, he is faithful, and for that we are grateful. We sang a song just a little bit ago, "You Never Let Go." Oh no, God, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, God, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Aren't you glad? Now, we have reasons to give thanks to God. So how does the Bible tell us to give thanks? We're going to end with this. How we give thanks. Number one, Jason, you'll like this one. We give thanks by singing. We give thanks by singing. Psalm 147, 7, sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to God. Folks, when you praise God, you become very aware of his presence in your life. There's something very powerful about praising the Lord, particularly in music and song and singing. I know some of you out there say, well, I can't sing. I know I've sat in front of you sometimes. I pity the fool who sits in front of me. Maybe you think you can't sing so well. Well, my response is twofold. First of all, that doesn't stop you from singing your favorite tunes on the radio. You're still singing them. And number two, you don't have to be able to sing extremely well. The Bible just says, make a joyful noise. So make a joyful noise. Since God is everywhere, you can sing God. You can sing to God everywhere you are. In your home, your car, your office, your school. There's so much good Christian music on. You can have it on your radio. You can put it on your phone. You need to sing. Singing actually produces changes in you physiologically and emotionally. You need to sing. Why? It's one thing to learn something in your head. It's something else to feel it in your heart. And you need both. Jason, did you know singing lowers cortisol and relieves stress and tension? Did you know that? Listen up, buddy. I did some research. Studies have shown that when people sing, endorphins and oxytocin are released from the brain, which in turn lowers stress and anxiety levels. Studies have proven that singing is heart healthy. It elevates moods. It reduces stress. It relieves symptoms of depression. It stimulates memories. It manages pain and eases pain. It helps people eat less, and it helps with spiritual connections. You need to sing. We get all this when we're led by Mr. ZZ Top over here. You need to sing. How do you give thanks? By singing. Number two. You give thanks by serving. Hebrews 12:28. Since we have a kingdom that has nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. And when we serve God, we shouldn't look at it as some chore or duty or obligation. It is a privilege to serve God. Our motive for serving God with our talents and our gifts is a ministry. It is gratitude. We serve with a thankful heart. And the fact is that if God decided never to bless us again, we'd still owe him everything for what he has done for us already. If you're enjoying God's blessings and you are not serving him in a ministry, that's being selfish. Find a way to serve him. That's one way we can thank God. We can sing, we can serve, and number three, we give thanks by giving. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, "Give an offering to show thanks to God. Give him what you promised." The Bible says that the level of my giving shows the level of my gratitude. If I'm not giving, then I'm not very grateful. Our thanks and our giving go together. Deuteronomy 16:10 says, "Celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing he has given you." It's good to think about what you give and the way you give. Now, let me suggest three things as you do think about giving to God. First of all, you should review your commitment. Whatever your level of commitment is now, you should review it. Have I been consistent in my giving? Have I given according to how God has blessed me? Have I given only what I could give, or have I been giving by faith? Am I tithing, giving 10% back to God? Can I grow in my giving? Maybe I'm giving 10% now. Maybe I can give 11% next year. Review your commitment and then renew your commitment. God, I want to renew my commitment to give my tithe to you or give a little more to you. I renew my commitment. And then outdo your commitment. Folks, most Christians want to grow in their faith year by year. One way to grow in your faith is just to increase your commitment, what you're giving back to God. Now, we're getting ready to bring to you the presentation for the renovation project. We've talked about it. We had a committee working on it. We've shared this with our board of directors now, and we're going to put together a presentation to come back to you. And I think you're going to like it. It's going to be really good. It's going to make the church inside and out. It's just going to be really good. It's going to be attractive to people who come here. We're going to fix things that are broke. It's going to be wonderful. And guess what? It's not going to cost us a dime. Whoa, silence. That's the only time I've ever said a lie in this church. No, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. I'm not too concerned about that. First of all, that's God's issue. But he's going to be talking to you. He gets more out of you than I could ever. It's going to cost us, individual members of this church. We are going to have to give sacrificially. We don't want you saying, "Here's my tithe, this is what I give, I'm going to take this much out and put it in the building fund." You can't do that. We need what we're all giving. I'm not going to tap into what Libby and I give. We're going to keep giving this. We're going to find a way we can sacrificially give more for what we're going to do here. So you're going to hear more about it. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be exciting. So you might need to review your commitment, renew it, outdo it, find a way to give when we share more about this with you. All right? How to give thanks. Singing, serving, giving. Did we talk about telling? Is that coming up, Joe? By telling. There we go. Every time you tell somebody the good news, you're thanking God. Isaiah 12:4. Thank the Lord. Praise his name. Tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is. Folks, we have the greatest news in the world. And the good news keeps getting better and better because the news of the world keeps getting worse and worse. Everybody needs Jesus. Every person needs Jesus in their life. And they're not going to hear about Jesus unless we tell them. We have reasons to be grateful, radically grateful to God. We have reasons to share that good news of Jesus with others. If someone hadn't shared with us, we might be in a terrible way right now. Let's be grateful to God by taking that same good news and sharing it with someone else. All right? Let's pray together. God, thank you for giving us so many reasons, reminding us of so many reasons to be grateful to you. And it's almost like maybe these reasons aren't new, and they shouldn't be. We should already know the many reasons we have to be grateful, but it's good to be reminded. Sometimes, God, we may not intend to, but we may take some of these for granted. But now we've just been reminded, God, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. And we thank you. Whether we are in a season where we feel and sense your blessings, or we're in a season where we're struggling and our emotions aren't really in tune with the blessings we know we have, in either case, we want to take a moment just now and say, God, we acknowledge that we're blessed. And with all that we have within us, we just want to say thank you. We bless you. We praise you. Father, I ask that you will, in the time of this Thanksgiving season, to not only hear our praise and thanks to you, but also to make us mindful that people are struggling, hurting, emotionally, maybe because of family struggles, or maybe because they're out of work, maybe because of bad news they've heard. They're hurting. They don't have answers. They are emotionally at the bottom. God, keep our antenna, our spiritual, emotional antenna up so we can find these folks and we can share with them a listening ear, a caring presence, to let them know we care because you care, and maybe we can share you with them to give them hope. May we be mindful of folks around us. So bless our time of invitation now, God. Maybe it's just a time that we renew our thanks to you, our dependence on you. Use this time, Lord, to renew our commitment to you and our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Look ahead toward, Thanksgiving's this week, Jason. Wow, it's coming up, and everybody be safe if you're traveling. Pray for those who are traveling. School is all, is anybody in school this week? Did any adult ever get out a whole week for Thanksgiving? Anybody? Nobody. I mean, you guys got it. So congratulations to the students, and great Thanksgiving. Mark December 15th, if you're a youth student here, we're going to do our Christmas party then. So check that out. And that's your birthday? Should we invite Stevie? I guess we should. All right. So, all the things in the bulletin, check those out. If you see the poinsettia entry there that's in the back, and you can fill that out. We need to order by next Sunday, and so make sure you do that. All right. Lori, you're walking down front for some reason here. I know it.
Please announce about decorating tomorrow.
There's decorating here tomorrow. Yes. So if you'd like to come out and be a part of decorating the sanctuary. All right. Well, let's pray together and take that excitement with you today as we go out and share this love and joy and gratitude. Lord, thank you for all the blessings. As we've just heard, there's so many things we can be thankful for. Remind us day in, day out, that everything you give us, we need to thank you for it. To not take anything for granted, but to take it with gratitude. We love you, we thank you, we praise you now, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.